Merry Christmas and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today, this is the third podcast for the December 24th event or day. It'll be the Mass during the night celebrating the Christmas birth of Christ. And it is a particular Mass that highlights the time of day in which Jesus Christ was born. Basically, it's assumed from various gospel portions, especially the one we're about to read, that he was born at night instead of during the daytime. So probably sometime between midnight and morning he was born. But we do these readings on the night before, after the after the Christmas Vigil Mass, to kind of bring in the ushering of the Christmas season with this particular Mass in particular. So without holding back too much, let's dive in. And our first reading is a reading from the book of Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing. As they rejoice before you at the harvest, as people make merry when dividing spoils. For the yoke that burdened them, the pole on their shoulder, and the rod of their taskmaster you have smashed, as on the day of Midian. For every boot that trampled in battle, every cloak rolled in blood, will be burnt for fuel for flames. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, upon his shoulder dominion rests. They will name him Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Father Forever, Prince of Peace. His dominion is vast, of peace forever peaceful, from David's throne and over his kingdom, which he confirms and sustains by judgment and justice, both now and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord. Today is born our Savior, Christ the Lord. Today is born our Savior, Christ the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all you lands. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Today is born our Savior, Christ the Lord. Announce his salvation day after day. Tell his glory among the nations, among all people, his wondrous deeds. Today is born our Savior, Christ the Lord. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and what fills it resound. Let the plains of the joyful and all that is in them. Then shall all the trees of the forest exult. Today is born our Savior, Christ the Lord. They shall exult before the Lord, for he comes to rule the earth. He shall rule the world with justice and his people with his consistency. Today is born our Savior, Christ the Lord. The second reading is a reading from the Epistle to Titus. Beloved, the grace of God has appeared, saving all and training us to reject godless ways and worldly desires and to live temperately, justly, and devoutly in this age, as we await the blessed hope, the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to deliver us from all unlawfulness and to cleanse us for himself a people as his own, eager to do what is good. The word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. I proclaim to you good news of great joy. Today a Savior is born to us, Christ the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. And the gospel is a gospel according to Luke. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinus was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph too went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judah, to the city of David, that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child, while they were there, the time for her to have her child. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over the flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was a great multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. The Gospel of the Lord. And we're going to forego the office of readings, second reading for this particular Mass and for the next two Masses, because we've already done that on the Easter Vigil. Oh, on the Easter Vigil. Wow, I got the wrong holiday, don't I? On the Christmas Vigil Mass readings that we did earlier tonight. And really what I want to kind of highlight for you is the Church's understanding of Christ being born at night. Here we have this being talked about that it was during the time that the shepherds were in the field keeping a night watch over their flock that the angel of the Lord appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. And the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ the Lord. And this is the great message that today a Savior is born for us, Christ the Lord. This is the new song that we get to sing, that God himself does not stand apart from us, but he's one of us. He has taken on humanity so that humanity can be redeemed. The child that was born has a great dominion that rests upon him, as Isaiah points out. And he's someone that's known as a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, a father forever, a prince of peace, with a dominion that is very vast. It is as vast as the universe. It is something that begins from the throne of David and over his kingdom and goes forth to all the ends of creation, because he is God and he is also man. God in the sense that he is the Father forever, the Prince of Peace, a wonderful counselor, and one whose dominion is resting upon his shoulders that is very vast, forever peaceful, but also human, because he sits upon David's throne. He is the child of Mary, born to us through a man named Joseph in a little town called Bethlehem, just outside of Jerusalem. A specific location, specific time. One of the things that we get when we look at the Christmas story is we see a lot of time references being made. There's Caesar Augustus, there is Quirinius, the governor of Syria, and all these people have a specific time frame in which they can be known. Basically, what's happening here is that we're being told these so that we would know about when Jesus Christ would be born. And there's a great many of ancient people who basically have studied the scriptures and have determined that Jesus' birth had to have happened sometime in about 3 or 2 BC, and that there is no real way of being able to determine that he happened before 4 BC, as some of the more modern scholars have tried to say as early as 7 BC. But those do not hold up to a lot of the contemporaries of Jesus who were dating it, like Josephus back in his day. Many of the contemporaries concluded, as many present-day historians, that Christ was born before 4 AD, for various reasons of misunderstanding about different parts of the writings of ancient people, and also when they date certain individuals to have done certain things or been in existence. So there's a lot of wiggle room, as you were, to the situation. But if we go to the most ancient resources, like Flavius Josephus and some of the early church fathers, the time frame in which Jesus would have been born fits more about 3 or 2 BC and not any time prior to that. And this is kind of where we get into all the little problems that come up as to how things fit together in this whole thing. When we look at the continuing history, We learn that Herod, who had learned of the Messiah's birth from the Magi, or the astronomers, or three kings, learned of him from the Star of Bethlehem that we'll be talking about in future days. And when people basically are looking at this history, they have dated his death incorrectly because of a translation error in Josephus to sometime prior to 4 AD. But the reality, when we look into the actual stuff about Herod's death and the confusion relating to it, we come to understand that Herod really passed away in about 1 BC, and therefore Jesus would have been born sometime in 3 or 2 BC instead. And this is something that we'll get into at some later date when we start talking about the star more accurately and getting into how the star fits into this whole story. But just as an interesting bynote, for most people, the understanding of the star fits into the equation. And all these people that are being talked about, Caesar Augustus, Quirinius, and even Herod, who learns of the time of Jesus' birth from the Magi, these are people who have lived in a real time, and the framework which is being laid out by the early testimonies within the early church fathers and even other historians like Josephus, who was more or less a Jewish historian for the Romans, the date would actually fit more 3 or 2 BC rather than any time earlier than that. And there's other things that go into that fact. But when we're looking at the birth has real meaning for us because it is reminding us of certain connections that we have with the gospel message. For instance, one of the things is that Joseph was the father of Jesus, or stepfather, because he was the one that Mary was betrothed to, who was with child. And when she gave birth, everybody considered him his father and Mary his mother, because that's the way the family was situated. And when we see this event taking place, it reminds us of how great of an event it is, because Jesus is being born. He's Emmanuel. He's the newborn King of the Jews, the newborn child of God that's before us. And this is the light that is seen in darkness. This is the hope we have in our own sinfulness that actually breaks off the yoke of bitterness and everything that keeps us bound to sin. Because what is happening here is something the angel proclaims as the first testifier of the gospel in a gospel message, where he basically says, "I proclaim to you good news of great joy," something that's for you and everyone, basically. "For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord," or Christ the Lord, depending upon your translation that you're working with. And we get this great praise song that comes from the angels called the Gloria. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The church in its liturgy has this particular hymn being done up on most of its Sundays throughout the years and high holy days, because it is a hymn of great praise, and it's a reminder to us of the nativity and the connection the nativity has to our salvation. Because God loved us enough, he became a man like you and I. The reason why he became and why we have this grace of his appearing is so that we can live sinless lives, so that we can overcome sin. As Isaiah kind of describes it, he says it in these words, that the yoke that was a burden for you, the pole that was on your shoulder, and the rod of your taskmaster has been smashed by Christ. This here is a depiction of how we are no longer slaves to sin. We can be slaves to righteousness. We are freed by the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that comes about because he took on humanity. And this is why we remember the Nativity, because it's the first step along the way to Calvary, where Jesus Christ actually comes into the world and he is God with us, and he really does minister something to us. And these are the things that we want to take away from this particular reading today and these particular knowledge. And especially the simple fact that we're still waiting for a blessed hope, another appearance, the appearance of glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, when he will deliver us in the very end from every type of unlawlessness and cleanse us as a people for his own, a people who are eager to do what is good, showing that repentance is part of the gospel message and that we need to persevere. And it's an appearance that happens specifically in the second coming at the end of time, but it's also an appearance that comes every day in your life. If you think about it, every time you have prayer, anytime you go to Mass and receive communion, you're receiving Jesus Christ in his reality and in his totality, and he's really appearing to you there in those events. And these events should get you to sing to the Lord a new song, to announce his salvation day after day, every day, telling this Gloria and his wondrous deeds, deeds about how he becomes man every day in the Mass by taking on the body of bread and the blood of wine to truly re-show himself to us, to be rebirthed in us, so that, as Paul says, that he groans daily that Christ be born in us, that we give birth to the true image of God, which is an image of righteousness and justice. Because this is how God comes to us in this world, that he rules the world with justice and his people with a consistency that comes from grace and him having us abide in him as branches on the vine. So these are the thoughts that I want to have with you today. Now, because this is an additional podcast for today, I'm not going to try to make it go too long. So I'm going to try to cut this short a little bit in here, but hopefully you can kind of see that the blessedness of this particular event is that Jesus Christ, God, is walking among us. He has appeared to us as a babe in a manger and as a source of bread. In fact, if we really break it down, Bethlehem is in Hebrew, Beth Lechem. That's the house, Bet, Lechem, of bread. And with Jesus being laid in a manger, he's showing us that he is the bread of life, in a sense, and also shown with the swaddling clothes that it's his death, burial, and resurrection that makes him such. And therefore, this is a very Eucharistic moment in history where he does take on a form of humanity, a body like you and mine, to save us. And then every day in Mass, he takes on a Eucharistic body in the form of bread in order to nourish us. So these are the things that we need to be taking forward into the next couple days. And if we really get it, we will sing to him a new song, and we will really have his marvelous deeds able to be testified by our lives. So hopefully this blesses you a little bit, gives you a little bit more of a perspective on Christmas and how it connects to everyday life as a Catholic and as somebody that every Sunday can receive the Blessed Sacrament as a unique and truly blessed gift. And if nothing else, if this is the only message you listen to today, I hope you do have a blessed Christmas and a very merry, wonderful day with your family and friends.